All right, fans, welcome to the Tony Sands Show here for another live week here at the Tilted Kilt. This is your co-host, Kelsey Dudley, here filling in for our main man, Tony Sands, who's going to come in, reach us from abroad. We have him out on the West Coast, and he's going to chime in with us over the radio time as we reach out to him. We got a lot of things going on in sports here. We're at the Tilted Kilt, so we're going to go over all the issues here that's going on in sports. We got the NFL. The Dallas Cowboys are up and down, up and down. They cannot figure it out. So we're going to make contact with our main man, Bibbs, our Texas insider. We also have the Final Four of college going on. Who's in, who's out? We're going to cover that, folks. And then also we have later on in the show our main man of 24/7 who lets us know who's out there being recruited, who's our top guy that's coming from high school, getting into college. Our main man, Ryan Bartow, is going to check in with us from there. And we have also here on location at the Tilted Kilt, Hallandale High School, one of South Florida's top teams, premier teams that is in the second round of the playoffs, looking to face off for a second time against the American Heritage Patriots. Okay, big contest there. But let's get started here with our Final Four of college. What do you think? Who's in, who's out? We have all of our top teams vowing for position. Big things going on there with them trying to find out what are some of the top teams that are going to sneak their way in. Maybe we got a sleeper that's going to make it in. We don't know. But then we have our teams that are pretty much situated that are holding on to the top spot there. Let's start with our number one team in the college Final Four. As of right now in the rankings, we have Clemson that is holding down the top spot. Now, Clemson is a team that is led by their top quarterback, Deshaun Watson, a dual threat quarterback that, let's say this, folks, he's pretty much leading the team, and he's keeping them going. They have a stout defense that's pretty much holding things down there. They were able to hold on against a Syracuse squad that was trying to, you know, play spoiler against them and holding them to, you know, maybe about 37 points. They're usually scoring more. But then Syracuse was able to put up 27. So they kept it kind of close. Then you have our number two team coming in, the dominant Alabama Tide with Nick Saban. They are dominant on defense, folks, and they're pretty much giving us a dominant defense performance week in, week out. The offense may be a little shaky, but I tell you what, they have a top running back that is churning up the yards. He's really getting the game going in their top running back that's really keeping them going on the ground. I see Alabama as being a top team that's going to be hard to beat here down the stretch. Even with the SEC championship looming, maybe a pivotal matchup with the Florida Gators in the SEC championship, but I still see them being one of the stronger teams out there right now. If I had to say who's showing up and being the most dominant, I would say the Alabama Crimson Tide are. Then we have our third team coming in, ranked number three, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Now, Ohio State is there because I feel they're the reigning champ. Okay, so they're defending their championship from last year. So pretty much similar to Florida State, we can't count them out. Okay, they haven't been beaten yet. I know we look at the Big Ten, their schedule, who Ohio State has been playing, but we still have to look at, they're the defending champs, and we can't dethrone them yet until someone has gone there and beat the champs. Despite their schedule, voters still have them at number three, holding on there in the top four. And then we have, for the last spot, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, which is our out-of-conference team, which right now is holding down a spot, kind of bumping out some of our conference teams that are not in there. Okay, so we're looking at a Notre Dame team, schedule-wise, that now has to face Stanford. That may be their only challenge down the road left on their schedule is a Stanford team. Now, Stanford had a chance to kind of make some way and get themselves very close to being in the top four, but they came up short against Oregon at home. So they kind of dropped the ball for them to make a run at the championship to get into the Final Four. So now look at it as Stanford will look to play spoiler against the Fighting Irish. So that's going to be a big matchup coming up in 2 weeks. Now for Ohio State at number three, they play coming up this week, Michigan State at the Horseshoe. So that's going to be key for Ohio State there. With JT Barrett coming back in and kind of giving that team that balance on offense that they need, will they be able to continue and keep it up and kind of catch their rhythm like they did last year and continue some of the top championship play going on with Ohio State? They're going to hit the meat of their schedule now, because earlier many people didn't consider them playing any top-tier talent. Now we look at them, they got Michigan State coming up. Following that, you got your rivalry with the Michigan Wolverines. And then you have your Big Ten Championship, which is going to face off, looks like it's going to be the Iowa Hawkeyes coming from the other side of their conference. So you have three teams there that are ranked really high that Ohio State has to get through. So this is going to be their gauntlet coming up, where they have to make sure that they're holding down that third spot for the playoffs, with some teams like, we got a dark horse in the ACC creeping up, possibly a North Carolina that will face off against Clemson in the ACC championship if they're able to win two of their last three games. So North Carolina's looking like a pretty formidable team. They just put it on the Hurricanes. I mean, they took the Hurricanes out to the woodshed, and they just put it on them. pretty much a big spanking on the Hurricanes. So North Carolina is rising. They have a senior quarterback, led by a senior quarterback, a defense by Coach Gene Chizik that has turned that program around as far as the defense goes, and they're playing some defense over there, and they're scoring points like crazy. So we have to look out, as North Carolina may be a dark horse coming up into the Final Four, okay? So that's something to be aware of there for the ACC, okay, and Clemson. And then Alabama, like we said, they are going to have to face off against the Florida Gators, looks like, in the SEC championship. But right now, I got to be honest with you, the Alabama Crimson Tide look like a strong, strong, dominant team that is looking to just get stronger and stronger as we go into the playoffs here. So that's a very big thing for them coming up. So those are our Final Four right there. Baylor dropped off, which was a shock that Baylor at home could not hold on and beat an Oklahoma team who is also surging, trying to make their way into the Final Four. But the one loss to Texas is holding them back. But they do have a big game coming up against the undefeated Oklahoma State Cowboys. And that's a rivalry game. So we got some big games coming up here late for some teams that we'll find out tomorrow how the committee stacks those teams. As of late, Oklahoma State had a tough game against Iowa State. They found a way to come back. They fought back. So we got to give them credit there. But then again, you're talking about a 3-6 team that you're struggling with trying to make it into the playoffs. So a very big issue there for Oklahoma State. But maybe they had a lackadaisical coming off a big-time game with TCU. Maybe they came out a little lackadaisical, kind of underestimated Iowa State, and then they had to get back on track with that and get themselves back into the game. But they do have Oklahoma, big matchup with Oklahoma looming, and that's going to prove pivotal for either Oklahoma or Oklahoma State, who can win that matchup as to getting into the Final Four. So that's very big there. Some of the other things going on in sports, the Dallas Cowboys. Let's get over to the NFL. We got the Dallas Cowboys. And we're going to talk soon with my main man, Bibbs, Texas Insider. He's going to tell us a little bit about the Dallas Cowboys and what they have going on there. We had the blow up with Dez Bryant in the locker room. A lot of things going on in Big D. We have Tony Romo possibly, though, coming back this week. So it's going to be crucial to see how Tony Romo can kind of help the Cowboys turn around. They're 2-7 right now. So you're talking about a struggling team with the Cowboys. We're going to get more into that coming up. The New England Patriots, man, it's like a cat with nine lives with the New England Patriots. They just seem to not go down no matter what. A close game with the New York Giants there that they had battling back and forth. And then a crucial call late in the game where you had Eli Manning throwing a touchdown to Beckham, and he seemed to hold on to the ball, but then it kind of slipped out. You know that rule that they have going on in the NFL where you got to maintain the catch all the way through. He had 2 feet down, folks. I would say you're past the goal line. You're past the pylon. You have control of the ball 2 feet down. I call that a touchdown. In my book, that's a touchdown. Now, looking at that, you know, the NFL has a great area in there saying that you must maintain control of the ball throughout the end zone. I know it's kind of weird there to kind of see or figure out, okay, what should it be? But, you know, they called a touchdown back, so the Giants had to settle for a field goal. And then you just don't leave Brady that time to drive down. With no timeouts, Brady had a minute and something to drive down and get his team into field goal position. And then Gronkowski, the kicker for the New England Patriots, just nailed a long one with room. It was a 54-yarder. And you talking about crushing to the New York Giants that had fought so well to kind of hold the New England Patriots off at home. And New England just finds a way to get out of it and get a win. Now, the crucial thing for New England coming up is that Edelman has a foot injury. So now we have to look into, will they be able to bounce back and figure out a way to make up for the missing of Edelman in that lineup? It's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough to fill that void for Edelman, because he means so much to Brady, running those routes in and out of the slot on the outside, doing the screens, and really, you know, helping Brady get rid of the ball quickly. That's one of the reasons why he leads the league in getting rid of the ball the quickest out of all the quarterbacks. So that's going to be crucial to see. But, you know, you have the main man there, Belichick, that's pretty much figuring out those things for them. And, you know, when you have a good coach like Belichick, I'm pretty sure he's able to draw up those things and get that going. Those are just some of the sports issues, folks, that we're tackling right now. Like I said, we're going to go to commercial break here, and we'll come back with my main man, Bibbs, our Texas insider. We're going to get into this Dallas Cowboys. We're going to figure out what's going on in Big D. Can they turn it around? Can they figure it out? What's going on in Dallas? What we're going to do is we're going to go to commercial here. Our main man, Bibbs, is coming back with us. I like to take us out with a little bit of Drake. And, you know, the Cowboys are trying to wonder if they can get some rings. They can get some big rings. They got big dreams, big rings. You know, my producer's going to take us out with some of the Drake big rings here on commercial as we come back with our main man, Bibbs, on our commercial break.
Yeah. I know we just signed the deal, but I need my advance on the next one, too. They know I'm going to be around. Yeah, I need it.
Metro Boomin wants some more.
Cause I got a really big team, and they need some really big rings. They need some really nice things. Better be coming with no strings. Better be coming with no strings. We need some really nice things. We need some really big rings. I got a really big team. I got a really big team. They need some really big rings.
All right, fans. We are back here at the Tilted Kilt, downtown Fort Lauderdale. It's the Tony Sands Show. The Tilted Kilt is a nice establishment. We're down here, and we've been down here for a while. Let me tell you, these TVs and the Monday night game and the atmosphere down here is just great. Downtown, and This is a wonderful place to be. If you ever get a chance to get down here, if you're able to get down here now, come and join us. We're having a good time down here. Like I said, we're going to have Hallandale High School here on location with us, one of the top teams in the playoffs down in South Florida. So come down, meet the coach, meet some of the players. Big time things going on there. Well, right now, let's go to our Texas insider, our main man, Bibbs, that joins us every week, that gives us all of the juicy, juicy info that's going on in Dallas. Bibbs, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here, man. How you doing today, Kelsey?
What's going on, man? You know I'm running this. I'm holding things down here solo on one end. Tony's going to chime in with us on the other end. So, you know, we're working it on both ends here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I see you, man. Doing a great job.
Thanks. Hey, let's get in, and we're, Bibbs, let's get into the Cowboys first, and we're going to, you know, kind of delve into that, and then we'll come back and we'll touch some of the college side. Now, with the Cowboys here, well, man, tell me, Bibbs, I mean, we got a lot of things going on. We got the blow up with Dez Bryant in the locker room late in the week. You know, you're trying to get ready for a game, and that's just some of the tension that, you know, we can see going on in the locker room. And then now you got, once they get to the game, 6 points? 6 points, that's all they could muster up? Tell me what's going on, Bibbs.
Well, it's been a tough week for the Cowboys and the organization, first and foremost. Like you said, Dez had the altercation with John Jock Taylor, one of the ESPN insiders out of Dallas. I guess he, at some point, he felt disrespected about some of the comments made in the article that John wrote about, you know, and it's just been turmoil, and you cannot win when you have turmoil. You have Greg Hardy situation still, you know, in the forefront for the Cowboys organization.
Yes.
On top of the fact that Dez Bryant, you know, with the blow up this past week, and the fact that you've lost 7 games in a row. You know, anytime you have things like that going on, and you don't, and you not being successful on the field, when by successful I mean coming out with wins, there's going to be a lot of tension. There's going to be a lot of things that's building up that you're not necessarily seeing with a team that's winning, you know? And
right.
It's just turmoil right now. Tony Romo, the good thing is that Tony Romo has
he'll be back this week, right?
He's activated today from the IR, and he'll be back for the Miami Dolphins game this coming up weekend. Hopefully that'll change a few things, and what I mean by change things, hopefully they'll win, put it like that.
Yeah. What can they change? What can they change, Bibbs? I mean, okay, you have, and this is a lot for Tony Romo coming back, because he's not only dealing with the lack of a running game here, he's also dealing with Dez Bryant being off, and I mean, him not getting in the groove of things, and so him coming back, it's a lot on his shoulders.
It definitely is a lot on his shoulder, but I'm not. If anybody can take that load on, it's Tony. Tony's been the team for a while, you know, really just getting the opportunity to see how important he is to the Cowboys organization by, you know, just seeing and witnessing this 7-game losing streak. You know, we had a chance to see, you know, him. I wouldn't want to say it like that. That's a bad way to say it. He's been hurt before and he's missed, you know, games throughout the season, but they were able to, you know, get a couple of W's within the time that he was out. But this go around, they haven't been so lucky. And, you know, but like I said, we'll get a chance to see him come back. And I think they'll do a lot better. Like you said, I do have to say the run game was obsolete yesterday. We didn't see much of it yesterday. But the 2 weeks prior to that, Darren McFadden ran for over 100 yards both games. So if he can duplicate those type of runs and that type of game again with Tony Romo under the center, I think they have a far better chance at winning.
Yeah, that would definitely help. But we got to make sure there's no more blow-ups in the locker room, right?
Yeah, definitely. You have to get the locker room under control, and that's Jason Garrett's job. And I don't think he's been doing a great job at keeping the locker room under control. You know, they've been trying their hardest to keep Greg Hardy under wraps. You know, he's had several different meetings with several different people throughout that organization, but it didn't really seem to help. He had a blow up this past weekend. He got into it with DeMarcus Lawrence, one of the young defensive ends. They made up. You know, even before the game was over, but still, you don't need, in a team that's losing the way they're losing, you don't have time for that. We just want to win.
Right,
that's all they want. They just want to win. And it's tough right now. But one thing people don't understand is the Cowboys are still 2-2 in the division. They've lost 7 games in a row, but they've won 2 division games, so therefore they're still in the division hunt. Our division is not that good. Philadelphia lost last night, so did the Giants.
And then the Giants, Giants lost a close one.
Right, and only team that won was the Redskins, and the Cowboys have to play the Redskins twice before the end of the season. So they still have a small chance. It's not a big window, but it's a small window, and only way they'll be able to get that, even to accomplish that, is to win out, basically. And they only have room to lose one game, which would leave them at 8-8. But with the division being as bad as it is this year, they might win the division with an 8-8 or a 9-7 type of record. But we'll see. We'll see.
That's good. Finishing out, they're gonna have to run the table here with some good play on football and coming down here. I'm gonna tell you, Bibbs, the Dolphins are, you know, trying to get their feet. So this is gonna be a big game because kind of the Dolphins look at the Cowboys. There's, you know, history there in those games that they've played. So the Dolphins fans are going to be looking, you know, pretty big at this game coming up, just coming off of a big win with Philly. So it's not going to be an easy game for the Cowboys to kind of come down and win.
No, not at all. No game in the NFL is easy. So we know that the Dolphins are playing better football than what they were playing previously, you know. And so it'll be a challenge in itself. I think it'll be a good game, though. You know, I think it'll be a good game, especially with the Dolphins coming off the comeback win yesterday. And the Cowboys, but they're getting their quarterback, their leader back. I think it'll be a far better game than what people might have imagined with looking at the records.
Right. Yes. Okay, now let's switch over to the college. Let's switch over to our college Final Four, Bibbs. Big games that went on in Texas. Big games that went on in Texas. We had the Baylor-OU matchup. A lot of people are looking at, even the voters are looking at Baylor and the Big 12, not only Baylor, but Oklahoma State also, as, okay, we got to see some things from them first. We got to see that they can compete, that they can really do what they need to do to get in. And now with that Baylor loss, what do you think that puts Baylor and the Big 12 itself? Now, I know Oklahoma State is still undefeated, but they had a close one against Iowa State. So, looking at the Big 12, tomorrow the voters are going to make their vote. Where do you think the Big 12 sits is trying to get one of their teams into the Final Four here?
Well, I think no team, maybe Oklahoma State because of the undefeated record will be close. I don't think any team out of the Big 12 will be in the top four coming after this week rankings come out. Now, you still have games to play. Oklahoma has to play Oklahoma State and TCU. And I honestly picked Oklahoma to run the table. So at the beginning of the season, I just said, you know, TCU, everybody had all their hype about, you know, TCU and Baylor last year not getting in. But you can never count out Bob Stoops and them Oklahoma Sooners. They have a good team over there, and you got the chance to see that this week when they went up against the Baylor.
Yeah, they really took it to Baylor.
They were able to beat Baylor at Baylor. So, you know, I think Oklahoma, if anybody gets out of the Big 12, it'll be Oklahoma. If Oklahoma State can somehow beat Oklahoma and stay undefeated, then possibly them. But we can definitely be seeing a repeat of last year. No Big 12 team in the Final Four because there's some good teams out here. And those top four teams that are actually on, like, I guess going to play in that, they have on the top four right now. I can't take anything from them.
No, the Clemson team, they deserve to be at number one. And then you got Alabama playing the most dominant football. I like them at number two. Only the one loss there is holding them back, I would say, from being up to number one. Ohio State, we're looking at them. All right, Ohio State, they're the defending champs. So we got to give them the benefit of the doubt like we gave Florida State last year. I understand that. But that number four spot where they currently have the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, Notre Dame has one more game to go against Stanford. Now, since Stanford kind of dropped the ball, they're kind of playing spoiler now. So I think that fourth spot, Bibbs, maybe one of those Big 12 teams can get in. I'm looking at the winner of the Oklahoma State possibly getting that spot. What do you think?
That's going to be a big matchup, but we got to watch out for that TCU team because they're still dangerous. And if they can beat Oklahoma, then you won't see Oklahoma. You know what I'm saying? And if Oklahoma is able to knock off Oklahoma State, that just knocks the whole that Big 12.
That knocks the whole thing right off. So they're kind of going to knock each other out.
Right, and I can almost see that definitely happen. The Big 12 is going to have to make some changes. It's almost inevitable now. They're going to have to find themselves. They're going to have to add some, you know, teams to their conferences, and they're going to have to find their way, get themselves at the conference championship game, or they won't, you know, keep experiencing this over and over again.
Tell me this, Bibbs. You being in Texas, you being a Houston guy, do you add Houston to the Big 12? What do you think?
I do. They have a good. But the coach they picked, they got out from Ohio State. He's a good coach, man. I don't know how long he'll be at University of Houston if they don't.
That's the thing.
To another conference.
His name is popping up on everyone's board. Yeah.
Right. And if the University of Houston can't find a way to, you know, get them into that Big 12 conference, that power conference, then he won't be there much longer. You know, it's too many job openings every year for him to sit in a, you know, what's that, AAC?
American Conference.
Yeah, there's not a power conference at this time. Now, don't get me wrong, they have some good football teams this year with Memphis and University of Houston, Temple. So I won't take anything from them. But, nah, they need to get into a power conference. And I feel like U of H is the perfect team to be in that. The demographics are perfect for them to, you know, be in the Big 12. Now, the other team, I don't know. I don't have another team right now.
Maybe Boise State.
I always thought about BYU because they play some good football, but at the same time, they have very, very strict guidelines when it comes to their athletic program. They don't play games on Sundays, which really doesn't tie into football, but it'll tie into basketball and other sports. So I don't know. But I always thought that BYU would be a good fit in the Big 12. They play good football.
Yeah, so they're going to have to really look at that. If they end up missing out again on the Final Four, they're going to have to really make some changes or make some moves to kind of get that to where they could have a championship game. Because even looking at the Big Ten with Ohio State and Iowa, I mean, there's other than you got your big three there, you got Ohio State, Michigan State, and Michigan all on one side. I was just walking away with the other side. It's, you know, all the other teams are pretty low there, and you got them possibly, heck, I mean, they may get two teams in if you're looking at how those three teams finish off down, because Ohio State has to play all those teams in a row. So we don't know what's going to happen there for the third spot.
That Ohio State team is just so talented, though. They have so many good athletes. It's just hard to see them lose.
When will they turn it on? They're waiting to turn it on, and we're waiting for them to turn it on like last year. But it seems like they're just on cruise control right now.
Yeah, and that definitely is the truth. They do seem like they're on cruise control. But I mean, maybe when the competition gets high at its peak, then you'll get a chance to see that team that we saw win the national championship last year. But until then, I don't know.
Yeah, it's gonna be crucial to see. But in the top four there, those are our teams that we feel that, you know, should hold it down. Looking forward, one matchup that I may see Clemson possibly maybe having a little bit of a challenge there, maybe a North Carolina team that may pose a little bit of challenge for them in the ACC championship. But
the North Carolina team is no joke.
They're putting up points, huh, Bibbs?
They're putting up points. Now, I don't think they have the best defense in the world, but they are putting up points, and they can score. I feel like they can score with Clemson. And if Clemson has some type of, you know, that's a bad game.
Yeah, that would be the wrong team to have a bad game against.
That's not the team you want to have a bad game against. Not at all.
So, yeah, you're looking at there being the top four and some teams, maybe North Carolina may be the dark horse. We don't know. We'll look to see. But those votes will come out tomorrow, and we'll see where they put those teams at. Hey, Bibbs, thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate you joining in. Like I said, keep listening, man. We're going to have Tony chime in. We'll get some of his perspective out from the West Coast.
Sir.
We got our man, Ryan Bartow, coming up. next, and we're going to get with him. He's out in California also, and he's going to let us know what's going on with that USC job. Who's the top guy that's going to get that big job? Hey.
All right, man. Thanks for having me, man. Y'all have a good one. Have a good night.
All right, Bibbs. We'll talk to you soon. Okay, we're going to commercial break here. That was our main man, Bibbs, the Texas insider that gives us all of our inside. We're going to go to a break here where my producer is going to bring us in with a little bit of what is called the weekend. I can't feel their face. So we'll be back on the Tony Sands Show.
And I know she'll be the death of me, at least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me, the worst is yet to come. But at least we'll both be beautiful and stay forever young. This I know, this I know. She told me don't worry about it. She told me don't worry.
All right, folks, we're back here with the at the Tony Sands Show here live at the Tilted Kilt in downtown Fort Lauderdale, where the TVs, the Monday night game, you can see all the Monday night games. It got about 35 TVs off in here, and it's a very nice place. Great food, great atmosphere. The windows are open to downtown. Let me tell you, this is a nice place to be, folks. So come on down here and join us at the Tilted Kilt downtown Fort Lauderdale. Coming up, we'll have the Hallandale High School top players for their high school program. They're at the second round of the playoffs, so we'll look to get them on and their head coach, Damon Jones. Right now, we want to get into let's continue some of the NFL talk here about some of the top NFL stories. Going back to the Patriots, big win for the New England Patriots, folks. This is a team that seems to have nine lives. They just will not go away. So they seem to do well, no matter what the circumstances. They lost Edelman at an injury about midway through the game, and they were able to still continue to get big plays out of Danny Amendola, also big plays out of none other than Gronkowski, giving them big plays, and then, of course, Brady being Brady and making plays down the stretch so they could get a victory against the New York Giants. Now, one thing I would say is the Giants may have their number, because in all the matchups that the Giants have faced the Patriots, they've all been close. And then you got to factor in the two Super Bowl matchups where you had the Patriots being favorites in both of those matchups. And then the Giants were able to come out victorious and keeping the Patriots away from two rings. So that matchup there between the Patriots and the Giants it seems to always be a classic matchup there. Now, tonight we have a Monday night matchup that faces off one of our undefeated teams in the Cincinnati Bengals facing off against the Houston Texans. I mean, we have a Houston Texans team that's 3-5, okay, and they're struggling to find their way. Quarterback issues that they can't seem to get through to find a quarterback to run that organization. But then you have on the other end an AFC team that is clicking on all cylinders right now. And I'm happy for the coach there for the Cincinnati Bengals that, you know, the Bengals are finally getting their chance. And who we call the Red Rifleman, Andy Dalton, is playing exceptional football for the Cincinnati Bengals. So it's a big time matchup here tonight that we have for Monday night. And the Bengals are a hot team right now. You know, when you're going up against J.J. Watt and you know, the Texans defense, anything can happen. So we're looking for things to be tight there. That matchup where Dalton is facing off against J.J. Watt, they're going to have to make sure they get protection for Andy Dalton so he can get it to big-time receivers that he has in Mohamed Sanu, and also the main target there for the Cincinnati Bengals. Some of the other matchups that we had going on Sunday, I mean, the Green Bay Packers. What's going on with the Green Bay Packers, folks? They have slid. They seem to be going backwards here and they can't seem to get anything going where they're scoring low amount of points. And you're talking about what we were thinking, which was going to be a top team for the Green Bay Packers, that being, you know, Aaron Rodgers. But he's trying to get things going. He's trying to figure out what's going on and trying to find his way. So there we have that, you know, they're going through issues. They have to figure it out, though, because record-wise, they're sliding. They're sliding on that NFC side. And you have the Carolina Panthers who are finding their way. They seem to be doing pretty well. And, I mean, they're not losing right now. I would say they're not a dominant NFC team. They don't look like it once you watch them, but somehow they keep on winning. They keep on winning. They keep on winning. So that's a major thing for them there. So another team that seems to be doing it, like I said, the Carolina Panthers. Folks, I mean, is it, and we have to ask ourselves, is it the year for Cam Newton? Is it his time to shine? Maybe it's his time to move up into that top echelon of quarterbacks where we're looking at Cam Newton as being, hey, the guy that we can say, along with maybe a Brady, a Breeze, maybe a Aaron Rodgers, we're looking at with Luck, Andrew Luck, who's sliding now. Maybe Cam can slide into that spot for the young quarterbacks and then be that top-tier guy that's stepping in there for them. So, you know, trying to figure out what is going to be that thing that's going to keep the Carolina Panthers going. I mean, they're winning right now with good defense, and then Cam's playing out of his mind right now. He's not turning over the ball. His completion percentage is up. So it's big time there. So that's helping out the Carolina Panthers. But, I mean, I would say this as me coming to you as a fans out there, and you tell me what you think. You have the Carolina Panthers and you have Cam Newton. This is his time to step in and be the quarterback that a lot of people think he can be and a lot of people would hope that he can be for, you know, the dual threat quarterbacks in the NFL. But his antics, folks, his antics, the touchdown antics, they have to put that to the side. You know, they have to be able to get those things taken care of. I would say that's not needed. There are certain things that you can do as a quarterback. I love that he gives the football to, you know, the younger kids in the game. He seeks them out, gives them a game ball and things of that sort every time he scores. But do you need the extra dancing? Do you need the extra? It's almost like you're mocking the other team. You're kind of, you know, kind of pushing it in their face that you scored. And one of the comments that Cam made in press conferences and saying in his press conference after the game, he said that, well, if you want to stop me, then stop me from scoring. And that'll be the way that I won't dance. I mean, are we at that point where now you get the window of opportunity for yourself? You get your chance to shine. And then it comes down to being that for you in the, you know, for Cam Newton. I just don't think that that's needed for him at this point in time. He's a great talent. He's leading his team to an undefeated record right now, leading the NFC, one of the major teams to look out for in the NFC. Just, Cam, just do what you do. Do what you do and be the player that you are, and it'll speak for itself. I mean, continue giving the balls to the fans there and the young kids there at the game that are coming to see the games that are following you. But try to make sure that you're still following the way the game is supposed to be played. There were guys that came before you, Cam. Make sure that you're carrying on that legacy by being humble. Be humble. Don't overuse that. Don't push it into other people's face, other teams' face. Don't get excessive penalties for excessive dancing. If you haven't been there, act like you have been there and understand that that's where you're going, Cam. And that's something that should be there for you. All right. Now, let's go to commercial break here. We're going to come back with our main man, Tony, that's going to chime in with us. Tony Sands is going to chime in with us from out in California or out in Hawaii, he's going to chime in with us. So we're going to go to commercial break here. I'm going to have my producer take us out with something funky. And we'll be back where we're going to chime in about some of these sports topics, some of these sports issues. And guess who just walked in the building? Some of South Florida's top head coaches in Coach Brown of the B.A. Board Anderson High School Cobras and Coach Damon Jones of the Hallandale Chargers. We're going to get with them later on in the show and make their predictions, talk about some of their top matchups coming up in the playoffs, second round of the playoffs here on the Tony Sands Show.
Yeah. I know we just signed a deal, but I need my advance on the next one, too. They know I'm going to be around. Yeah. I need it.
Metro Boomin wants some more.
Because I got a really big team, and they need some really big rings. They need some really nice things. Better be coming with no strings. Better be coming with no strings. We need some really nice things. We need some really big rings. I got a really big team. I got a really big team. They need some really big rings. They need some really nice things. Better be coming with no strings. Better be coming with no strings. We need some really nice things. We need some really big rings.
Okay. We're back here at the Tony Sands Show here at the Tilted Kilt downtown Fort Lauderdale, where this is a beautiful place, man. I mean, we have people filling in down here for the game, Monday night game, and then you can also check out some other games that are going on. They have many TVs down here, and the food is great, and that is a wonderful thing down here. This is a great place to be for, to enjoy the game, see a lot of things going on, and to come down here and check out us on the Tony Sands Show, do our thing live. So come on down to the Tilted Kilt. This is the place to be. Okay, we have our main man, Ryan Bartow from 24/7 Sports, on now with us. He's out in California giving us some of the inside out in California, some of the big recruits, and what's going on with the USC coaching situation. Ryan, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, Ryan, let's get into it. USC, they have an interim coach and Coach Helton that's in there now. Andy Helton that's in there now. What is going on with the coaching situation for USC? What are some names that you're hearing that may be possible replacements for the USC job?
Well, first off, the interim coach, Clay Helton, has done a good job. He's 4-1 right now, but they got two difficult games on deck. Oregon this weekend and then their rivalry game against UCLA after. Right now they're tied on top with Utah for the South Division of the Pac-12. I think Helton is probably got to win out to get that job. That's the word I'm getting right now. At the same time, a lot of the guys that you're hearing for this job are more pro guys than college guys. The pro hire did work for them, obviously, in the past with Pete Carroll. And so you hear names. A name I'm hearing a lot is Hugh Jackson. Hugh is a former head coach of the Raiders. He's a USC grad. Uh-huh. He's an LA native. He's the offensive coordinator for the Bengals. They're undefeated right now. So
right.
That's a name really to keep an eye on. Obviously, Jack Del Rio, the current Raiders coach, he's the same deal, USC alum. And so he has some ties there as well. So that could be a hire potentially that could go the pro route over the college route.
Oh, wow. So they're looking to possibly go and get an NFL guy in there. As far as their coaching vacancy, huh?
Yes, it could be that direction since that has worked for them in the past.
Now, that's a loaded program, so whoever takes over that program is going to come in with the cover definitely full. Now, Ryan, you're out in California with some of the top recruits. Give me some of the top guys that are some top quarterbacks. I have one guy that's going to come all the way across the coast, Ryan, and Malik Henry, a five-star guy, quarterback out in California that says he's pretty much committed to Florida State. What are some guys out in California that are probably going to stay on the West Coast? Who do you have for me?
Well, Malik Henry is not a five-star guy. He's a four-star guy, and he's only a take for Florida State. He's not a take for anybody else in the country. He was an early commit for them. He's on deck to enroll early. And he's not even the top three quarterbacks in Southern California this cycle. So, obviously, you got to keep an eye on Khalil Tate. It's a very, very athletic, explosive dual threat guy at Sarah High School. He's committed to Rich Rod in Arizona, which is a tremendous team fit. Earlier today, I went past to see Patrick O'Brien, who's committed to Nebraska. He's 6'4", 225, pro-style guy, had a big-time senior season, 11 games, threw for 2,800 yards, 32 touchdown passes, also ran for 700 yards and 9 touchdowns. He's a top 10 QB in terms of pro style in the country on 24/7 Sports, as well as KJ Costello. I was at his school bright and early at 7 this morning. He's a U.S. Army All-American. He's committed to Stanford, who has the 7th best recruiting class in the country per 24/7 Sports. So in QB heaven out here, last year there were 7 of the top 10 QBs, in my opinion, in the country in Southern California. This year you got three, potentially 4 really good ones.
Wow, and that's why I wanted to start there, Ryan, with the quarterback position, because I know coming out of California, usually that's where some of your top quarterbacks are. Now, me being a receiver guy and working with receivers and training receivers on this end, Ryan, could you tell me what is one of the top receivers that's out on the West Coast right now?
Well, in L.A. this year, there's 8, possibly 9 4-star guys this cycle at the receiver position. I wouldn't say loaded, but they have tremendous depth here. You got a guy, I think the most underrated of the bunch is Devon Cooper, who's committed to Arizona. Southern Cal could potentially offer him late to flip him. Southern Cal's got a 2 4-star guys, or actually 3 right in their backyard here with Trevon Sidney and Tyler Vaughn's teammates at Bishop Amont, guys I'll see later this week, as well as Michael Pittman, a big specimen at 6'4", 210-pound ex-receiver. So those are some of the main guys to watch. I saw a 4-star receiver this morning in Dylan Crawford. He probably will go to Oregon. That's an Oregon and Michigan battle for him. Another guy to keep an eye on at Corona Centennial that puts up huge numbers on the high school level is Javon McKinley. His recruitment, teams to watch there are obviously Notre Dame, as well as Oregon, Washington, a few others. So those are the main guys this cycle to really keep an eye on in terms of Southern California 4-star wide receivers.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we got our quarterback, we got our receiver. I know you got to get out of here, Ryan. Give me one defensive player from the West Coast that is just, you know, everybody's after him.
Mike Juarez, he's at Torrance West. He's a former Southern Cal commit. This guy's 6'3", 225 pounds. Plays some QB, but he'll be an outside linebacker. He's going to officially visit Ole Miss this weekend. He's also trying to line up official visits to Oklahoma as well as Alabama. But when the dust settles, look for him to be a UCLA Bruin and be used in that Miles Jack-type role for the Bruins.
Wow, sounds good, sounds good. All right, Ryan, we know you got to run. We want to make sure that you're able to hit all your schools out there and get that information for us. Our main man, Ryan Bartow of 27 Sports out in Cali getting us the scoop. I know you're enjoying the sun. It never rains in Southern California, Ryan, huh?
Yep, it's paradise bee for a reason.
All right, you go ahead and take care of what you got to take care of. Thanks for joining us on the Tony Sands Show. Ryan, we're going to get out of here. And we're going to let's go to commercial break now. We'll be coming back with our main man, Tony Sands, as he checks in with us from Hawaii.
And I know she'll be the death of me, at least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me, the worst is yet to come. But at least we'll both be beautiful and stay forever young. This I know, this I know. She told me don't worry about it. She told me don't worry no more. We both know we can't go without it. She told me you'll never.
All right, fans, we're back here at the Tony Sands Show downtown at the Tilted Kilt, downtown Fort Lauderdale. Wonderful place to be. TVs everywhere, Monday night football's going on, and all of the sports that you can see, basketball games, all type of football games, even MMA fighting is going on. So you have it all down here, wonderful food, everything's just a wonderful place to be as it overlooks downtown Fort Lauderdale. Now we're here live at the Tilted Kilt. Just had my main man, Tony Sands, chime in with us. So it's my partner in crime. He's here with us coming from Hawaii. And Tony, I want to know why you're there. What's going on, man, out in Hawaii?
Man, what's going on in South Florida? You got to figure, I was in South Florida yesterday, and I'm in Hawaii today. I just left South Florida this morning, long trip, here in Hawaii. Well, I'm in here in Hawaii. We're doing what we consider the Pro Bowl tour. We're on tour with the NFL Pro Bowl. We're doing promos. We're looking at, sites of what we're going to do, the kids' camps and things like that nature. I'm in here to handle a lot of that, and it is lovely. It is 84 degrees here in Hawaii. But let's get to some other stuff, Kelsey. They know why I'm here.
Sounds good.
Man, it is lovely here in Hawaii. I'm with my driver. He's taking me over now to ESPN Studios. Kelsey, let's talk about, I know you and Bibbs got into a lot of this stuff with the Dallas Cowboys. And how, right now, with the state of the art.
Ups and downs, Tony.
But one thing I know, to be for sure, a guy like Jerry Jones can get this program back on. And you got to figure, everybody's waiting, Kelsey, on Tony Romo to get back in. So everybody's kind of, to me, being a little understanding of the state of the Dallas Cowboys. They know it's tough to come back when you lose a star running back to Philadelphia, going free agency, your quarterback go down, and your top receiver go down. Now, does that cause a lot of tension? Yeah, because you got to understand that the Dallas Cowboys were rated to be in the NFC Championship game. And all of a sudden now, you're hoping to try to win a game. And I don't know if people understand those dynamics.
Yeah. And Bibbs told us that, okay, if anybody can handle it, he said that, it would be Tony Romo. And with him being activated this week, of today, he was activated, and
Correct. He
would be able to get to their, run to their rescue to kind of get that team back on track. He did say it's still a little bit of the negativity and things going on with the organization from some of the things that we look at with the blow up with Dez Bryant still kind of lingering. And then also the Greg Hardy situation, and they're still talking about that out there. But he said that if anybody could clean it up, it would be Tony Romo.
Tony, of course, the leadership that he has with that team is unbelievable. Dez listening to him, I'm quite sure. When I got a chance, I go to Cowboys camp and work with the Dallas Cowboys every summer. And when you see Tony Romo comes into the weight room or on the field, he demands that respect. He demands that leadership. And the guys listen to him. I was in a conversation with him and Dez when I was out there, and you could see that respect that Dez has for him. You could see the respect that all the players there have for him. But I understand. See, Jerry Jones is a guy, you got to figure, Kelsey, he's used to this type of controversy when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. This is nothing new to Jerry Jones, controversy.
Yeah, he loves
Cowboys.
He loves it.
To me, like they say, if they're not talking about you, you're not relevant. And Jerry is a guy that believes that to be true. That adds to that Cowboy mystique. Everybody, and then you also got to figure, when it's the Cowboys, it's always magnified twice as much. Always magnified twice as much.
Yeah.
So you got to understand those dynamics when you're dealing with the Dallas Cowboys. But I know, Kelsey, we also got some young, energetic, upcoming, some of the hottest high school coaches in the country in studio with us today at Tilt the Kilt. Give me the guys' names that we have also in studio with us here.
We have Tyler Huntley, one of the top quarterbacks that has committed to the University of Utah and in South Florida. This is the top quarterback, I would say, in my personal opinion, Tony, that I've seen up close. This kid can thread the needle. He's here with us on location, and we also have from Hallandale High School their top receiver, his top target, and Joshua Hammond, also committed to the University of Florida, making big things happen there for the team. And, they're here with a big matchup looming at the end of this week coming up against, and it will be their second time, Tony, where they're going to face they're going to face American Heritage. So big matchup coming up for those guys.
And Kelsey, I got a chance to see when they and when you talk about the quarterback and his leadership, I got a chance to see him when they played St. Thomas, and I watched this. He was cool, calm, and collective. Even in the midst of Mr. Bosa coming at them, bearing down on him, he was still cool, calm, and collected. This guy showed me why he is one of the top quarterbacks in South Florida, and that passing attack that he had is unbelievable. And I thought, now, you got to figure, they like you said, they match up against American Heritage. This is like a heavyweight bout, the Thriller in Manila. They get a chance to go back up against American Heritage. So I'm real curious to ask Coach, what did he take from last game to put to this game and to make his team perform a little better? So we're going to deal with that when we're here on the Tony Fan Show. We're going to deal with Coach. And we also have Boyd Anderson, Coach, if I'm not mistaken, in studio with him.
Yeah, I think that when you play a team twice, Tony, it's hard to beat a team twice. And now you're talking about the second round of the playoffs. I think that's very big for a team here in Hallandale, where they're seeing this team for the second time. And American Heritage look of playing a team again for the second time. I know me as a coach, once I get a chance to game plan you again, and maybe the mistakes I made the first time, I'm not going to make those mistakes again. So,
but I'm going to tell you, not only that, Kelsey, but when I'm saying, you play a team twice, and then you beat a team pretty good the first time, can you find yourself at a low when you play this team the second time? Do you say, we're going to beat this team? They were easy. And all of a sudden, you find yourself in trouble, and you're trying to get the mystique, and you're trying to get yourself up for this game, but you beat this team bad the first time. Is that a problem for American Heritage, though?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a problem where, I mean, they have to be able to understand, you know, what they're going to do coming around the second time. And I think that Coach Jones would be able to kind of, you know, step back with his staff and kind of pinpoint some of those things, especially when you're facing that team the second time. And you're talking about the playoffs. It's win or go home at this particular point. So you have footage on that team, that being American Heritage, to where you could kind of find out and see, okay, this is where we made mistakes the first time. Let's see if we don't go down that road again. Let's kind of stay away from these things and letting his players know that, look, we're prepared. Let's be confident. We know what we need to stay away from the second time around.
Well, Coach, without further ado, let's get Coach Jones to the studio so we can get in his brain. I want to dig in. I want to see what makes him break.
Okay, we're gonna see if we can get Coach Jones on here. Coach Jones, are you with us?
Yes, sir. How's it going, fellas?
Okay, Coach Jones, are you picking up Coach Jones?
I got him loud and clear. I got him loud. Coach Jones, sorry I couldn't be there. I'm out here in beautiful Hawaii. I won't brag, but I'm out here in beautiful Hawaii because I'm doing stuff for the NFL this week. Now, Coach, let's dig into this game. You got a big matchup coming with American Heritage.
Right.
And you, what I call it, a Thriller in Manila, you get a second shot at American Heritage. What are some of the things you took from the last matchup with American Heritage that you implemented in this game, in this point for this game, and hoping and seeing that your guys play a better game this time than they did the last time? We're live here in beautiful Hawaii. This is the Tony Sands Show. I am Tony Sands. My guys back in studio are having technical difficulties trying to stay connected, but you are connected with the man, the myth, the legend here on the Tony Sands Show. We talked in depth with Kelson. We had Coach Jones on, and he's talking about his rematch with American Heritage and how that's going to play out. American Heritage beat them pretty good the first time around, but they're trying to see how they can take what they took from that beating that they took from that last game, put it together, and get a win, because you win one, you're in. You lose, you go home. The next man move on to the next round of the playoffs with the hopes of getting in the Citrus Bowl in Orlando. But you can see here in sunny Hawaii, It is a beautiful state. We're going to go to a commercial break, and we're going to try to plug back in with my guys on the ground in South Florida here on the Tony Sands Show.
All of the lights.
All right, fans, we're back here at the Tony Sands Show here downtown Fort Lauderdale, Tilted Kilt, and I'm here with one of the top coaches in Broward County looking to face off in the second round of the playoffs, and it's going to be a rematch for this particular team that's going up against the American Heritage Patriots. I'm talking about the Hallandale Chargers and Coach Damon Jones. I have Coach Damon Jones here with me live. Coach, how you doing?
Hey, I'm pretty good. How's it going?
Good, good, good. And we're looking to kind of get some insight, Coach, from you. We know that you had a wonderful season this year. Top talented team in Broward County. A lot of talent across the board. We're talking about offensively, defensively. I would say one of, if not the top quarterback in Broward. How has it been going coaching a talent like Tyler? What is that like? Tell me.
Oh, man, it's been a blessing for 4 years, man. He started as a true freshman and, you know, has broke all of Hollandale's passing record. So, I mean, just to watch that kid, you know, where he started from to where he's at now and, you know, I'm just proud of him, man. He's going off to a great school. He's a great student in the classroom. He's going to graduate early. I mean, you just wish you had a full team of Tyler Huntley's.
Right, and he's been able to lead your team through thick and thin, Coach. I mean, you guys have played some tough competition year in, year out, and, you know, this kid has had a chance to grow with not only with you, but with the program and the players that you've been able to put into your program. And it's almost like, you know, you're able to continue to stay at that top level by putting, you know, you're getting athletes to roll in and fill in and keep your team at that top level. Is that something that you feel may be a problem for you going forward? Or do you feel you're able to continue just that winning tradition down there at Hallandale?
I mean, Hallandale is blessed with a lot of talent, you know, from football to basketball. I mean, you just, you know, get the right kids and the right mindset, man, and the sky's the limit. So, you know, I'm a product of Hollandale, man. So I'm going to push for Hollandale, win or lose. And I'm just proud of that school and, you know, where it has come from to now. So I'm just blessed to be there and, you know, just guiding these wonderful young men to the next round. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it wins and losses are what we play for. But at the end of the day, my biggest goal is just making sure these guys have a future in whatever their next step
right.
is, no matter if it's, you know, football or Navy or, you know, the workforce, man. So
right.
that's my vision and my goal for them. It's bigger than football. And I just hate to see kids after football is over with nowhere to go. So that's why I'm so passionate about it, because when I was in school and we didn't have anybody to lead us or guide us to, you know, make us make the right decisions, go, you know, make sure you have this GPA, make sure you take this test. And so that's why, you know, I pride myself on and making sure these kids are educated and, you know, if they want to play ball at the next level, to make sure, you know, everything's in place where they even able to accept a scholarship, man. So that's what it's about. And,
right.
You know, the wins come with it, and that makes it even better. But, you know, that's first and foremost.
Okay, now, Coach, you know, with you having a talented team, you being a mentor for the guys, and that's what it's all about. And we're going to meet with another coach, Coach Brown of the Boyd Anderson Cobras, that is also a mentor, a father figure for his team. With you having a second round matchup coming up against, this is a district foe. They're standing in your way. They're standing in your way, Coach Jones. They're standing in your way. Let me know, what are some of the things that you're trying to, some of the messages that you're trying to get across to your players? It's tough to beat a team twice, Coach.
Right.
And with you knowing that, with your players knowing that, what is the message that you're trying to get across to your team this week for a pivotal matchup coming up on Friday against American Heritage?
Hey, but at the end of the day, win or go home. Win or go home. But Win or go home. You want to put your equipment up early, or you want to keep playing?
Hey, and that's what they don't want to hear. Exactly. Do you want to turn in that equipment? You got to unscrew this and unscrew that, put my stuff back where it goes. No, that's not yours. Give it back.
Right.
You know, and they don't want to do that.
I don't want to do that, you know. And with any game moving forward, turnovers, you know. We had four turnovers the last time we played them. And, you know, with four turnovers, you're not going to beat anybody, and you don't deserve to beat anybody.
Right. And you know as well as I do in the coaching realm, you can't – I mean, that's how football has always been played.
Right.
Win a turnover battle, and you stand a good chance to win the game. Seeing that game, Coach, I'll definitely tell you that both are two talented teams. And I think that your Hallandale team stands toe-to-toe with them talent-wise. And it comes down to you're looking at mistakes in that game that kind of propel American Heritage forward. Early in that game, you know, you guys were going back and forth. So, you know, I look at this matchup possibly being even more of a pivotal matchup, because it's for all the marbles here. We're talking about the big ring, the ring that has been eluding you, Coach.
Right.
And I want to see one on your finger, because I know you put in a lot of work for your program. So
indeed.
This is a pivotal matchup for your team, right?
Right, right, right.
So are you getting your coaches to where their mindset is ready for this game also coming up? What are you telling your coaches? What are you guys doing just amongst the coaches to kind of get yourselves ready mentally, not strategically, because we don't want to know any of your X and O's.
Right.
But we just want to know strategically, I mean, mentally, what are your coaches mentally trying to do to prepare themselves?
Just at the end of the day, just mentally, just focus and just clean up mistakes, you know. Just go in and clean up mistakes and move forward with these kids. And at the end of the day, we know we can play with them. They know we can play with them. But at the end of the day, we got to go out there and actually do it. And that's what it boils down to, you know. X's and O's on Friday, and I think it's going to be a great ball game.
I will definitely be there for part two. Let me tell you that, Coach Jones. I will definitely be there. I enjoyed you coming on. I appreciate you coming out, man. We're going to talk with some of your top players that are going on to some big-time schools and some of your athletes there. I appreciate you coming on the Tony Sands Show. You're always welcome.
Appreciate it.
I want you to continue going down that road towards that playoffs. Hopefully, Coach, hopefully we can get you before you get to that state championship. We can have you back on again, and then we can make this thing like, okay, on their road going to the championship as you guys go to collect that ring.
Hey, that's the plan. I appreciate it.
That's the plan. All right, we got you here on the Tony Sands Show. You heard it. That's Damon Jones of the Hallandale Chargers. Very good coach down here in South Florida. Has a top team that's going to face off against the American Heritage Patriots. It's part two, folks. Part two of the American Heritage facing off against Hallandale Chargers. Be there on Friday night. Look forward to it, Coach.
Thank you.
Let's go to commercial right now on the Tony Sands Show. We'll be back with Coach Brown of the Boyd Anderson Cobras, reviving the program. This is the man that revives the program. He gives life to programs down here in Broward County. So, producer, go ahead and take us out with some funky stuff. We'll be right back on the Tony Sands Show.
And I know she'll be the death of me, at least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me, the worst is yet to come. but at least we'll both be beautiful and stay forever young. This I know, this I know. She told me don't worry.
Okay, fans, we're back here at the Tony Sands Show downtown to Fort Lauderdale, Tilted Kilt, Monday Night Football. That's right, watching it. All the fans here are getting in on the Monday Night Football. Great food down at this place. I like the wings myself. I'm here with Coach Brown from the Board Anderson High School Cobras in Broward County, one of the turnaround stories in Broward County. Coach Brown, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here. Coach Brown, one of the things that was very pivotal for you coming in as a coach of the Board Anderson program was to turn around a program that had gone pretty much winless in the last couple of years. What are some of the accomplishments that you were able to do throughout this season to get that program turned around?
I just the first thing we were able to do was come in with a different mentality, and our mentality was we wanted to find a way to win, and that just didn't mean on the field. We wanted to find a way to win in everything we did in the classroom, in life, decisions we made at home, how we conducted ourselves as young men. So that's what we started at, and then that transferred to doing well in the classroom, being respectable, doing their work. And once we got them doing those little detailed things in the classroom, the field part just fell in place.
Right.
And getting, I think, another huge part of the turnaround was we were able to get all 50 kids on our varsity football team to buy in to what we were trying to do and accomplish.
And that's a big thing. You're talking about in your off-season program to get that type of commitment from kids starting off early in the springtime and then to follow that through the season and keep that going is a major thing. And I'm telling you from coaching experience that it's a major thing to get that commitment from young men, especially, I mean, yourself coming in. And we know your background coming from Dade, having coached at the higher level, at the college level, and just getting those kids to say, okay, coach, I'm going to follow you and buy in is a major thing. So I give you a lot of credit for turning around that program. Now, one of the things that you were able to do was you had a good record, coach, going throughout the season. You had only lost one game, coach. And, you know, throughout the season with a new quarterback to that program, and then I would say what your receiving core pretty new,
yeah,
and then a new coaching staff. Tell us how you were able to just kind of keep it going throughout the season and put together those wins to get to the playoffs.
Well, I think it all started, like we said, with the philosophy. Then everyone bought into the philosophy, and what we did was to make everything flow like mm-hmm. it did, I was able to be the head coach. So I was not really the head coach. I looked at it as I was the CEO mm-hmm. of a business. So to be able to have great communication with all the kids and all the young men in our program, there was always a person that was over that particular group of kids. For example, if there was any issues with any offensive kids, I would go to the offensive coordinator.
Right.
If there was any issues with the defensive kids, I would go to the defensive coordinator. I did the special teams. So with that, every kid, there was no kid that went uncoached because we were all trying to do too much.
Okay.
Everyone had their part that they had to contribute, and everyone brought their different belief for that particular week. So okay. We had a motto, we had a slogan every week that we would start off with. And I would start it off on Sundays, and I would tweet that slogan. And that's what we would do. One of our slogans was, we are our brother's keeper. You know what I mean? And that was a slogan meaning that we're going to do our assignment because my brother next to me depends on me to do that.
Do that, right.
We're going to make sure in class that my brother don't go to sleep or do anything to get in trouble.
Yes.
So we're going to encourage him, if he put his head down, lift his head up, or he decide to do something that's out of character, we're going to be our brother's keeper.
So that's keeping on top of it, not only on the athletics out on the field, but then also keeping your players focused in the classroom.
Right.
Which is, and I was speaking with Coach Jones of Hallandale, I was saying that I look at you two coaches now being in Broward as mentors for your program, being able to step up for the young men, being able to give them guidance, not only on the football field, but then being able to give them guidance off the field and help them as young men off the field. So I give you a lot of credit for being there for those kids in that sense. Now, Coach, you made it into the first round of the playoffs. Big time game, faced off against one of the well-known teams down here, Miami Central. Coach, tell me some of the positives that came out of that game for you. And I mean, because it was a close game, Coach, for pretty much most of the game. And let me say this now. Let me get this out there. I did pick you to kind of go in there and get them up out of there and take care of it. But you came up a little short, but you competed, and those guys competed. Tell us what were some of the things that some positives that you could take from that game, Coach.
Well, one thing I would say is from day one, when I took the job, my first meeting with the kids,
mm-hmm.
we talked about our goal was to face Central
mm-hmm.
in the playoffs, first of all. So everything we did was based on were we working hard enough to get to that goal to face Central. All right? So that was the mentality that we instilled in their head
right.
day one.
Okay.
When we went into that game, we went into that game to win it, okay? But the thing we got out of it is our defensive players, they laid everything on the line. They did not, I mean, those kids we basically had to carry off the field because they left everything they had on the field. Our younger guys on offense, which we'll get 8 out of the 11 back,
mm-hmm.
They didn't do as well as we would have liked. But I think it's a great stepping stone.
Yes, yes.
For them for next year on what the expectations truly are.
Right.
It's not just about speaking about it, but it's actually, okay, you've experienced it.
They've gone through it.
And we had a group of kids on offense that had never played varsity football. So this was their first year playing varsity football. And to be able to go up against a mighty Miami Central Rocket football team, I believe they were overwhelmed, but they never, never, ever gave up.
They stayed with it.
They fought till 0-0-0 is on the clock.
And that's like, you know, they were thrown into the fire. They were thrown into the fire, some of your young guys. And looking at it for your program, coming back, one of the major things I think you'll be able to stand on, Coach, which, I mean, with you having 8 of 11 returning offensively, you should come back as one of the top offenses probably, you know, rated in the county. So look for those guys to really shine next season, and I look for those guys to shine next season on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, I think we will continue to be successful, and why do I say that? We had 20 of our kids show up to track practice today. All right, they just lost Friday, and I told them to take a week off. But they showed up to track practice today because that's what the expectations are. If you're a skill position player, you're running track. If you're one of the big guys, you're wrestling.
Definitely.
And all those young men were where they were supposed to be today.
Which is very good, Coach. And that's how, I would always say that to kids. When I was coaching after this one sport is done, then you need to get into another sport to make sure that you're keeping your body in shape and you're keeping your muscles toned and everything and alertness ready for the continuance of sports. So I think that, hey, Coach, you're doing a great job. Like I've always told you, you got my support. I know, Coach. I didn't kind of get over there to get to my receiver group like I wanted to, Coach. But like I said, me and Tony, you know, the offseason, you got us, and we'll be there for you, whatever you need. Anytime, hopefully, we can get you back on the show. We'd definitely like to have you on as a guest. You with your knowledge, everything that you can empower the kids with, and your knowledge of the high school game and everything. So I thank you for coming on. Continued success at Boyd Anderson. I was there. I was coaching there. I'm glad you turned it around. So now I can go and show up there and be happy and say, my Boyd Anderson Cobras are back on the map, yes, and I can go and brag. Now, Coach, I still haven't gotten any paraphernalia, but, you know, that's for another time. I need that paraphernalia, Coach.
I'll get that taken care of.
Okay, you got me. Thanks for showing up, Coach. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you for having me.
As is Coach Brown of the Boyd Anderson High School Cobras. We'll be right back. We're going to commercial break with something funky producer. Give us something to go out with.
Yeah. I know we just signed a deal, but I need my advance on the next one, too. They know I'm going to be around. Yeah. I need it.
Metro Boomin wants some more.
Because I got a really big team, and they need some really big rings. They need some really nice things. Better be coming with no strings. Better be coming with no strings. We need some really nice things. We need some really big rings. I got a really big team. I got a really big team. They need some really big rings. They need some really nice.
All right, we're back here, fans, at the Tony Sands Show, downtown Fort Lauderdale, where we always keep it going. Wonderful place. We do the show live from down here. We're getting ready for Monday Night Football. That's right. We have the Cincinnati Bengals going up against the Houston Patriots. The Cincinnati Bengals are hot right now, fans, but not as hot as this quarterback I have next to me right now from the Hallandale High Chargers, Mr. Tyler Huntley. Welcome to the show, Tyler.
Hello, sir.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay, Tyler, you're one of the top quarterbacks down here in Broward. I mean, you've been starting for Hallandale for four seasons, and you're breaking Hallandale's records. How do you feel about your place as a Hallandale player, a Hallandale quarterback, and you're breaking a lot of the records that are there? How you feel about that?
I'm just happy that I was put on a team that helps me. Being a predicament to make plays and break records.
Okay, now, I mean, you can go ahead and let me know. Be yourself, because y'all know when you're out there, you know, you got that little swagger. I see you're in the gun all the time, and you seem like you're a calm, cool, collected quarterback, and nothing seems to rattle you. So coming up with a big matchup this week, you're going against the American Heritage Patriots for a second time. Tell me some of your keys to victory without giving. I don't want to know your X's and O's now, Tyler. Don't give me that. Just give me your main one or two keys to victory. What do you need to do as a leader of the team to kind of make sure that your guys get past that team this Friday?
I just got to come out this week of practice and make sure everybody focused during the week and just come out and let them know that it's not really a big game. We do it on the daily. And we just got to come out and perform.
Okay, now your coach, Coach Jones, told me that, you know, it was turnovers that kind of put you guys behind the ball, behind the eight ball there, and made you kind of have to chase from behind. What are you saying to your guys about getting off to a quick start? Because I know you, Tyler, you got receivers on both ends. You got weapons. What are you saying to your guys to say that, all right, we're not going to go down this road again?
I just saying that we just got to be smarter with our play, mm-hmm. and just come out and play Charger football.
Okay, and making sure that you stay away from the turnovers, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, academically, Tyler, in the classroom, how are you doing? Let us know.
I got a 4.0 GPA, so it's going well for me, and I plan to graduate in January.
Okay, now, have you passed the test?
The ACT?
SAT, ACT, which one did you take?
I took the ACT and I got a 23 on it.
Oh, okay, so you're a brainiac. Yes, sir. You're at the quarterback spot for a reason. You yes, are the brain of the operation.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so Tyler, I can't say for you to give me your top five because as everyone knows down here in South Florida, Mr. Huntley is committed to the Utah Utes out in Utah. So, could you tell me a little bit, are you taking any other visits, or is that the team?
That's the team.
That's
I'm
the team,
with
huh?
Utah all the way.
Man, do you know how you got other schools like maybe I know you got possibly Florida State, you got the Gators, you got LSU, you got these SEC teams, you got UM. I know these schools got to be like, man, how did we lose out on him? And looking at your talent, how did he get away? What is it about the Utah program that you love a lot?
First, it's the offense that they run. It's similar to what I run now in high school. And then when I took the visit, it's just family up there. It felt like I could adapt easily.
So, okay, so on campus, you felt at home.
Yes,
and then with the coaches, it was a good vibe between you and the coaches.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now you know that's where you're going to be for the next 4 years.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Your address.
That's my
so
address.
We can find you there.
At Utah.
Okay, big things happening for you, man. Hey, I appreciate you coming on to Tony Sands Show. We got one of your right-hand mans coming up next in Joshua Hammond.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how he lets you get away from going with him in a package deal over to the Gators, but we'll talk to Joshua about that, and I kind of hang that over his head.
Yes,
but
sir.
Thanks for coming on the Tony Sands Show.
Thank you.
I'm going to come out and check you guys out this Friday, man. This is part two.
Yes, sir.
This is part two. It's for the ring.
Yes, sir.
So, hey, step up. Do what you do and make things happen, all right?
Yes, sir.
Thanks for coming on the Tony Sands Show. All right, let's go to commercial break here. We have the main man who catches all the balls from this man on the other end, Joshua Hammond, coming up next. Let's go to commercial.
And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. But at least we'll both be beautiful and stay forever young. This I know. This I know. She told me don't worry.
All right, we're back here at the Tony Sands Show here at the Tilted Kilt. This is when a show with all the top people. We had top coaches on. Now we're having some of the top players down here in South Florida. Just had Tyler Huntley, one of our top quarterbacks, down here in South Florida for the Hallandale Chargers. Now I have sitting to the right of me one of the top receivers here in South Florida, Mr. Joshua Hammond. How you doing? Welcome to the Tony Sands Show.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. Now, Joshua Hammond has committed to the University of Florida Gators. Now, Joshua, did you know that this is a Gator bar?
Nah,
you didn't know this was a Gator restaurant.
Nah.
Okay, I just let you know.
Okay.
On Saturdays, on Friday and Saturdays, mm-hmm. they say it's standing room only in here. So when the Florida games are on,
uh-huh.
they're in here rooting for the Gators. This
I
is Gator
you.
Country. So when you're in here, be aware. Okay,
I
so now you know,
yeah.
hey, this is where I can come and be amongst fans of my own, where
right.
I'm going. This is where you're at. All right?
Gotcha.
Okay, now tell me some things about, like I talked to Tyler about, you guys have had a wonderful season here. You have part two, Joshua, coming up. Part two against a team that has been standing in your way, American Heritage. I know you know a lot of players over there.
Right.
I saw you in the last game talking to those players. Now it's time to say, all right, we were friends.
Yeah.
We're not this time.
Right.
It's money time now.
Right.
Coach said that he told you. He's telling you guys this week, it's win or go home. So now, what are you telling your guys? What are you telling your receivers in your group that, hey, what do we have to do this time? What is our focus level to get past them?
You know, we watched the film, and we had a lot of mistakes in our last game, you know. So this game, you know, we're going to try to play a lot harder and be a lot more physical because I feel like last game, you know, we weren't as physical as we normally are. So, I mean, if we come out better, stronger, and faster this week, it'll be a better game for us in the end.
Okay, definitely. The turnovers, you definitely want to eliminate. Coach Jones talked about eliminating those turnovers, and you guys would have been right there
right.
going down the stretch. Now, with you going to commit into the University of Florida,
mm-hmm.
let me ask you this. Are you taking any other visits?
I've already took one to the University of Georgia, but I'm pretty solid with my commitment to the University of Florida. I'm not
okay.
going anywhere.
Okay, now, I know the pipeline, the family pipeline connects to the University of Florida. See, you didn't think I knew that. I know that. That's why you're pretty much committed. So I know that. I've done my homework there, and I actually coached one of your other family members that played quarterback for me at the Boyd Anderson Cobras.
Right.
So I'm pretty familiar with your family and your background. Now, here's my next question. how did you let Tyler get away? How did you let your main man, your quarterback, how did you let him get away?
Well, Florida, they didn't offer him a scholarship, so I couldn't really do much. You know, I tried to get him to offer, but they wouldn't want to do it. So
that's supposed to be your man, $100,000. When he's in trouble and it's third and long, who is he looking for?
He's looking for me.
He's looking for you. I would have had to tell my college coaches, look, all right, it's a package deal. This man is looking for me. This is my guy. He's looking for me. I need you looking out for him. This is how we roll.
I got you. But, you know, I tried, but they wouldn't let it go.
I'm just messing with you, man. I'm just messing with you. Hey, I appreciate you coming on.
No problem.
Thanks for being here. You can always come on the Tony Sands Show anytime you like. We're going to have, once the playoffs are over, we're going to have top receivers in the county back. Top five. You've made the top five.
Okay.
And I train receivers. Calvin Ridley, Stacy Coley,
gotcha.
Some of the top ones. Benjamin Victor. Mm-hmm. I'm looking to add you to my group.
All right.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
So, big things in the future, all right? We're going to have you back on here,
okay,
all right?
Cool.
Thanks for joining us on the Tony Sands Show.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
All right. We're signing out here on the Tony Sands Show at the Tilted Kilt. Wonderful show here. We got the Monday night game coming up. Cincinnati Bengals undefeated. Folks, take us out, producer, with just a little bit of sound.
Yeah. I know we just signed a deal, but I need my advance on the next one, too. They know I'm going to be around. Yeah. I need it.
Metro Boomin wants some more.
Cause I got a really big team, and they need some really big rings. They need some really nice things. Better be coming with no strings. Better be coming with no strings. We need some really nice things. We need some really big rings. I got a really big team. I got a really big team. They need some really big rings. They need some really nice things. Better be coming with no strings. Better be coming with